This is The Playbook.
Welcome to the Digital Social Hour. I'm your host, Sean Kelly. I'm with my co-host, Wayne Lewis.
What up, what up?
And our guest today, David Meltzer. How's it going?
Amazing. Even better now that I'm here with you two at this unbelievable place.
Man, it's an honor to have you.
Right. Thanks for having me, man. What are we going to talk about today?
Whatever you want. First, quick story, I think, would be good of your journey.
Yeah, sure. You know, I always divide my journey into three different worlds. Mm-hmm. The first world, I say about half of the United States at least grows up in, and it's the world of not enough. Not enough of anything. Single mom, six kids, driven to be rich so I could buy my mom a house. Mm-hmm. The only chance of being rich was either academics, which I was better suited for, and so were my five siblings, or athletics. Mm-hmm. And I chose athletics, mm-hmm. although my unconscious competency was more relative to the academics. They came a lot easier than sports
did. What sport
did
you play?
Played football and baseball. Oh, okay. And then ended up pole vaulting as well in college.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So I could run scared really fast. But dang. The main objective of all of it to me was to buy my mom that house, mm-hmm. and car. And I thought for sure, because I grew up so happy with nothing, mm-hmm. that if I had money, you know, all those times I catch my mom crying or stressed over money, mm-hmm. would go away. And so, mm-hmm. I'd live in this unrealistic world of pure happiness that nothing would bother me. Mm-hmm. And so everything I did was in the trajectory of making as much money as I could, as fast as I could. Mm-hmm. And that world ended when I graduated law school, mm-hmm. And decided I'd work in the internet, despite my mom telling me the internet was a fad. Mm. It would never last, which is important because I've lived through Web 1, Web 2, Web 2.5, and 3, yeah. and there's the exact same mindset, mm-hmm. of
for
people.
Every level.
Every level. It's the same shit, and it's like, look, the platform's going to work. The technology is going to work. It's just that early on, 99% of the companies are going to fail.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right? 99% of the companies in 1992, mm-hmm. are not here today.
Right.
But the internet is.
The internet. Yeah,
right? Yeah, yeah. And the same thing will happen with Web 3. So I moved from a world, I made my first $1 million out of law school in 9 months.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Moved from what I call the world of not enough, being a victim, things happening to me, why me, to this world of just enough for me. And I thought I was like a super positive, giving person because I would talk about everything happens for me. I'm, you know, blessed and I give to receive and all the things that people thought. But that world's really dangerous, because it leaves you empty and unfulfilled.
Wow.
It actually has a false facade of a confirmation that money does buy love and happiness, because in the short term, when you have a lot of money, and I was a multimillionaire running Samsung's phone division in 99. So our exit in 95 was $3.4 billion. Mm-hmm. I ran the most notable phone company, Samsung. Mm-hmm. And what would happen was, if I wasn't happy, I would use money, mm-hmm. to give that false facade. So, mm. I'd buy new things, different things, more things. Mm. I'd buy things to impress people.
Right.
I'd buy things to impress people I didn't like.
Mm.
But that shit will only last long enough.
Right.
And so in the world of just enough, it's a scarce world. Mm. And so, you know, I ran Samsung Phone Division. Lee Steinberg hires me as his CEO, most notable sports agency in the world, did the movie Jerry Maguire. Mm-hmm. I meet Warren Moon. We start a sports marketing company. Mm-hmm. I'm worth over $100 million, mm-hmm. and I have access to what billionaires don't have access to. Mm-hmm. So not only do I have a ton of money, beautiful wife, my dream girl, three kids, mm-hmm. but I could go to anything, sidelines at Super Bowl, the Grammys, the Emmys, the Oscars, with the coolest people, supposedly, in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that all came crashing down so I could learn to live not in the world of not enough, not in the world of just enough, but I lost over $100 million, went bankrupt, mm-hmm. not just financially, morally bankrupt, mm-hmm. you know, in my own fulfilling bankruptcy. And then over the last 17 years, worked in a different faith, mm-hmm. in order to make it all back,
right.
and to live in the world of more than enough. And that's why I'm here today. I want to teach the world how to live in the world of more than enough of everything for everyone.
Wow.
Wow. So what's more than enough? What does that meaning derive from? What's your concept of
that? Thank you for asking that. Mm. You know, because a lot of times people just assume what they think about more than enough is what I think about it. And for me, most people live in a zero-sum game. They're constantly trading, negotiating, competing, comparing. and there's just enough, or it's a zero sum. If I take from you, then you're going to have less and I'm going to have more.
Right. Mm.
See, the world of more than enough says this. There's an infinite, all-knowing, unified system of thought that creates something bigger than you that knows everything. And it loves you more than your mom. So when we give, receive, or witness giving and receiving,
right.
we're adding value. So instead of a zero-sum game of giving and taking, quid pro quo, negotiating and trading and comparing, I live in a world that there's value add to everything. There's value add when I give, there's value add when I receive, and there's value add when I witness it. And so I use time as a dependent variable to determine how much of my time do I realistically in life circumstances actually spend my life. And there's a difference between life and life circumstances.
Right.
Too many people blur that line. They think their life circumstances is their life. I don't. My life is a value add life. And I know the life circumstances are going to interfere with that perception and that faith. So I'll say, okay, I'm only going to spend minutes and moments with a need to be offended or scared or worried or angry, resentful, you know, all the little things that we do to interfere with our true potential in the value add perspective that I have. And believe it or not, by having that mindset, that heart set, that handset, somehow I'm still here 17 years later with more than enough of everything for everyone. And I can't believe that more people don't live in this world. Do you sit on the house couch, though, high, sick, broke, dreaming about what you want? No. You got to do, say, think, believe, and feel every day as well to make it happen.
Yeah.
All right. So you believe in manifestation?
With the context of you have to think, say, do, believe. You can't just put a vision board up and say, I want a house.
I hate those parties. Vision board parties, I just hate them.
Wait, there's parties?
You know, people, no, people have vision board parties.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I don't know what that means to them, but it's like,
it's a first step party. Like, a vision board to me, see, there's a mathematical equation to my madness.
Absolutely.
And it goes like this. What you focus in on from that vision board. So I see a house in Del Mar like John Assaroff in The Secret. I see that house. That's the first step. Pay attention to what you want. But everyone ignores, especially at those parties, the second step, which is attention plus five levels of intention equals the coincidences, consequences, karma of your life. So what I say every day is, okay, this is what I want, a house in Del Mar. This is who can help me and who can I help. But I'm going to do everything I can today in the trajectory of that house or better. I'm going to say everything today in the trajectory of that house or better.
Right.
I'm going to think it better. I'm going to feel it, which is inspiration, right? And I'm going to believe it, which is faith.
Right.
And within the context of those five things, now you got something I believe in. See, instead of people trying to get more happy, more healthy, more wealthy, more worthy, I say, I am, because I'm part of this system, right? I am happy, healthy, wealthy, and worthy. But what am I doing today to interfere with it? And I use my free will. I'm a ferocious Buddha. Right. I believe in surrendering to the universe, but I don't believe in surrendering passively today. I believe in busting my balls to make it happen by clearing away what I'm doing to interfere with that abundance.
Yeah. People don't understand that concept. They have faith, but still worry.
Right.
And I'm like, how does that's
counterintuitive?
Yeah. It's like, well, how does that work for you? Like, how do you have faith and worry at the same time?
Right.
And then have a belief in God. It's like, What
you nailed it. That's the biggest construct that people have. It's like they say they have faith, but every indication of their actions is
worry.
Guilt, well, how about that? Just worry, right? Yeah. Anxiety, guilt, resentment, offense, separation, inferiority, superiority, right? Greed. All of these different things are indication you don't have faith.
Yeah.
Why would you be offended if you believed in God?
Yeah.
Why would you ever be? Why would you be mad? Now, everyone's going to spend minutes and moments in the ego-based consciousness afraid, but make it minutes and moments, not the days, weeks, months, and years that most people do in hypocrisy, saying, well, I believe in God, but I don't act like it.
That's a crazy statement.
Yeah.
I believe in God, but I don't act like it.
So speaking of ego, when a lot of people become successful, their ego sort of kicks in. Do you think when you were on that rise to 100 million, that's sort of what was your downfall, your ego?
Absolutely. I think it's everyone's downfall. If I can simplify it, it's like, how much time are you spending in ego? Because mm-hmm. that'll be completely correlated to how much success and fulfillment, passion, purpose, and profitability you have. Mm-hmm. And so what I've learned to do is take clues from my life and determine not only fear. So there's two types of fear. Mm-hmm. There's only fear of the past and fear of the future. Mm-hmm. And so fear of the past is usually guilt and resentment. Fear of the future is worry and anxiety based. Mm. Then I look to see, okay, which one is it? Then I prescribe now today, what need do I have mm-hmm. that is fueling that fear? So we went through like the need to be separate, inferior, superior, mm-hmm. anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, right. all worried, anxious. Yeah. And once I do that, now I can just stop and remind, remember, and recollect to God that, wait a second. And this is where that corollary comes in, right? Mm-hmm. If I truly have faith, then why am I resentful, guilty, worried, or anxious? Mm. If I truly had faith that there's something bigger than me that knows everything and is protecting and promoting me and loves me more than my mom, because that's the crux of, and this is another thing about religion, right? 99% of the religions, 99% of them say there's something bigger than you that knows everything and loves you more than your mom. Mm. But yet, right?
You have no belief in that.
Yeah. People don't believe it. And two, they separate themselves from every other religion as if there's some huge difference.
Nothing at all.
Between, right.
Yeah, they're always like putting them against each other, right?
Yeah, well, but that's for control, separation. Obviously, you want to kind of keep people at war against one another because it's easy to control if they're separate groups. People together is...
Unification is difficult to change. Collective consciousness is a powerful thing.
Very powerful.
So why do you think you were happier when you were broke growing up with your family compared to when you had $100 million net worth?
Values. So there's three things that determine happiness, and one is values. Mm-hmm. And so when you have nothing, my mom pressed upon me these values. And those were the values that I took stock in when my wife was going to leave me and told me I was going to end up dead if I didn't take stock in who I was and what I want to become. So my mom pressed in me gratitude, right? Gratitude was, she would send me back upstairs if I didn't have an attitude of gratitude. She said, come back down in a different mindset before you sit at this breakfast table.
Right.
I don't want to hear why me, you know? And so then it was forgiveness was another one. You know, being able to forgive myself, to be human, to learn lessons. Accountability was a big one. My mom used to just say, stop living below the line. Blame, shame, and justification. Right. When you got five siblings, it's easy to live in blame, shame, and justification.
I grew up in a house with 11, so I understand.
You get it, right? Yeah. and I've put that on steroids. Like, accountability is not just that. To me, it's what did I do to attract this to myself? Mm-hmm. And what am I doing to participate in the perception of it? Most importantly, accountability says, what am I supposed to learn from it? Mm. And then finally, this idea of effective communication. My mom meant it when I was young that, hey, use the correct words to communicate with others. Mm. Right? We don't have to use our fists, right? Effectively communicate who you are and what you want to be. But she didn't really teach me the real effective communication is not just how we're united together and use our words to communicate that and our actions, feelings, and beliefs. But this idea of faith, I wasn't effectively communicating with God or whatever you believe in, right? This source. Right. And so when I went back and took those four values and realized that's what created fulfillment, passion, purpose, and even fueled my profitability, that no matter how much profit I had, if I wasn't living to my values, I was empty. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I felt so much of the time. And it's when you're really wealthy or have a position of significance, like an athlete or, you know, famous sports agent or media stars, whatever we are, it's a glamorized stuck. And that's way worse than just a stuck. Like it's a, because people are always on you going, man, I wish I, you know, I wish I was like,
you're
you
always right. You're never wrong.
Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah. It's terrible.
And so I've stuck to my values and then instituted daily practices. And then now that I'm 55 years old, seasoned, I actually have taken it to an execution model of how am I going to execute all my values and daily practices beyond just having them.
Nice. So what are the daily practices you do?
And these are the ones that, you know, I'd be more than happy. I send them to everyone. You know, I'm one of the few guys. I sign my book. I send it to you. I pay for the book and shipping. So it's not a street hustle. Hey, man, I'll give you my $5 book for free if you give me $10 of shipping. No, I pay for everything. But really what it's about is these five things. Number one, know what you want each day in a trajectory of what you think you want in the future. Mm-hmm. But also check the meaning that you're giving the defining moments of your past, the successes, failures, mm-hmm. setbacks, mistakes, and historical references, mm-hmm. right? Like I see people all the time that are Jewish like me, mm-hmm. they'll use the Holocaust as an interference or a limitation of their future. Mm.
That's crazy.
We got to give it a meaning, mm-hmm. but why not give it a meaning of purpose and progress,
yeah.
right? Not punishment.
Yeah.
Because that's going to deter us. So yeah. I know every day what I want in the trajectory of where I think I want to be or better, mm-hmm. and give the meaning of mm-hmm. all the lessons I've learned in the past to help me, not hurt me. Mm-hmm. Two, know your who. This is a simple one that everyone skips. Mm-hmm. Know who you want to help mm-hmm. and who can help you. Mm-hmm. Find someone that sits in a situation, and because of technology, they're easy to find today.
Literally.
By Google or ChatGPT. Who can help me with solar, right? Mm-hmm. And then ask them for help. Because the fastest way to get to where you want to be is find someone that's already there, right. asking for directions.
Mm-hmm. But when you say ask for help, most people won't help.
Right.
So what's the strategy there?
So most people will help if you can articulate quantitative value and utilize an open mind. See, what people do is they waste their time on a closed mind. Mm. And so one of the nuances of understanding mm-hmm. how we sell even, mm-hmm. let alone ask for help, mm-hmm. is we need to qualify people by if they have an open mind or not.
Right.
100% of the time, if someone has an open mind, they will help you or know someone that can help you.
Mm. Yeah, all you got to do is vet them.
Yeah.
Have a simple conversation.
I'll give you my easiest one to vet someone if they have an open mind. You ready?
Yeah.
Are you a Cubs fan?
No.
No? Oh, I was going to ask you, did you get that shirt on sale?
What's crazy is that I had a brand, and the year that they won, I kind of had a feeling that they were going to win, so I designed this jersey and put history on the back, because that's the first time they won a World Series.
That's awesome.
On the back.
But open minds can explain that, right?
Yeah.
Not get offended.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or just smile at someone, they smile back. But so much time on earth is spent with people that don't understand mm-hmm. everyone has an open mind at a certain time. Mm-hmm. Some people have open minds the majority of the time. Some people have closed minds the mm-hmm. majority of the time.
Right.
I will tell you from understanding statistics that if you can find someone with a closed mind mm-hmm. majority of the time, but you catch them when they have an open mind, it's a jackpot. Do you want to know why? Because mm-hmm. I have an open mind the majority of the time, mm-hmm. which means I have tons of options, opportunities. Mm-hmm. So if you ask me for help, mm-hmm. the only thing that's going to deter me from helping you is prioritization of mm-hmm. all the people
Everything
that I can help.
But,
yeah. Where someone has a closed mind and you catch them when they have an open mind, then they don't have very many options.
You'll be the only one to help.
Exactly, yeah. You'll be the only one.
You'll be the only one to help.
This idea of knowing who is really important.
Yeah.
The third one is to know how. Mm-hmm. And that requires a lens of productivity. So when I say how, it's like, how much value can I bring to my time today in mm-hmm. the trajectory of where I think I want to be, mm-hmm. giving meaning to the past? How accessible am I mm-hmm. to others? And how am I accessing what I want, receiving?
Mm-hmm.
And the lens of gratitude that says, can I find the light, the love, and the lessons?
Right.
In other words, I'm dealing with open minds. So I use the third step, knowing our how, to make time a dependent variable of all my activities in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So activities I have planned, activities I don't have planned. I have non-negotiables of my health, my family, and a non-negotiable of studying time mm-hmm. to be efficient, effective, and statistically successful.
Mm-hmm.
So I teach people how to be a student of the calendar, mm-hmm. paying attention, giving intention to what I'm doing today mm-hmm. in the trajectory, what I'm saying, thinking, feeling, believing mm-hmm. in the trajectory of what I think I want. Now, the first three steps allow you to have the fourth daily practice. If you know what you want, who you can help and who can help you, and how to use your time, mm-hmm. you're going to know how to prioritize what you have planned and what's unexpected.
Mm-hmm. Right.
See, prioritization is the antidote to the two biggest problems in progress. One is procrastination. You're not going to progress if you procrastinate. And two, feeling overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. You're not going to progress if you feel overwhelmed.
Right.
If you know what's important to you by knowing your what, your who, and your how, when you know what's important to you, it's so easy to prioritize the now.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what you want to do now and next, 100% of the things you do now get done.
Mm-hmm.
It's the antidote to that procrastination and feeling overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
So I teach people how to prioritize their time in order to effectuate a future that they want mm-hmm. or better. And then the last step, number five, is not searching for your why, Mm-hmm. Not knowing your why, it's applying your why. Mm-hmm. So I teach in the step five, okay, I've now know my now and my next.
Right.
I'm going to apply my why. So I'm not searching for more happiness, more health, more wealth, more worthiness. I am happy, healthy, wealthy, mm-hmm. and worthy. This is what's important to me. I'm doing it.
Right.
And now I'm inspired by it because I'm figuring out what I'm doing to interfere with it, F-E-A-R, mm-hmm. interfere with it by identifying the fear, mm-hmm. prescribing the ego, mm-hmm. and reconnecting to God or source to stay right. in spirit, not interference.
Mm.
So that's more like a mathematical way of starting your day or looking at it from a calendar standpoint, because you kind of break it down.
Very pragmatic.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's like, it's unique. How do, I mean, most people probably won't understand that.
Right. they won't at all. They would have to listen to this hundreds of times,
right.
which is why I still study stuff every day.
I do too. Yeah.
Right. Because there's different lenses. As you raise your elevate your awareness,
right.
you're going to see things that are there that weren't there before, but they were always there.
Right.
And so when we go to five steps, so what would I start with? Because here's the lessons that I've learned from what you stated, which is really, really, really important. Number one, 0 to 1 takes as much time as 1 to 100. Mm-hmm. It takes as much energy as 1 to 100. So most people quit because 0 to 1 doesn't feel good.
No.
Right. But so I try to teach people, okay, that's a whole bunch to swallow on a podcast.
Right.
Let's try to just start with 0 to 1 and let's lower the bar right. and do that. The other thing that's really important. So let's just take gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody on earth thinks gratitude isn't impactful.
I think it is.
Everyone I've ever met, the smartest people. I mean, I've been around, like, last weekend at VCon, Deepak Chopra.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about gratitude. I've been with Oprah, gratitude.
Right.
I've been with Jack Canfield, wrote a book with him, gratitude. But here's the interesting thing. There's nothing simpler to do than to say thank you. It's free, takes 0.1 seconds, but it has all this impact on your life.
Yeah.
Why is it that we can't get people to say thank you? I'll tell you. The simple things to do are unfortunately simple not to do.
Mm.
So what I teach people to do, even in the context of the 5-day practice.
You don't feel like it's a sense of entitlement, though? For certain people, and then,
for sure.
like you said, like you're able to take accountability, but some people lack accountability.
Mm.
So we live in a time now, there's more narcissists now. Well, people who exude narcissistic traits than ever, just because they feel like they don't have to apologize, they don't have to acknowledge, which is gratitude, and they don't, and they feel like they're obligated to whatever it is, which is entitlement.
Absolutely,
right?
It's one of the predominant factors of why people aren't gracious, right? Because they feel entitled, and they're still searching for more.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, if we can raise our awareness to the really easy things to do. Mm-hmm. To make sure we do those first, to have non-negotiables,
right.
we'll have the most impact, because there's three characteristics of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
There's three characteristics of energy, and there's three characteristics of money, which is an energy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all the same. Behaviors aggregate on themselves
mm-hmm.
so that they track more of the same. So if you have a good behavior like gratitude, you're going to attract more gracious people.
People, yeah.
They also have an exponential outcome. So instead of, if I'm a 1 in gratitude, I'm not going to be 1 more the next day. I go from 1 to 2 to 4 to 8 to 16. That's how the hockey stick happens in life.
Yeah.
And then the best thing about the energy, behavior, and of course money is it also accelerates, which is great alignment with human nature, because we like instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're doing what we're supposed to do, but we're not seeing the outcome, we're more likely to quit.
Mm.
And here's the interesting thing. If we're doing what we're not supposed to do, like smoking, drinking, doing things that hurt us, eating bad foods, it has the same thing. It's aggregating, compounding, and accelerating.
Mm.
So you sit there and go, I've been smoking for 19 years. And then you're surprised you get cancer in the 20th year.
Right. Now you're asking God
how many
why.
People do you see like that, right?
A lot of them.
Compound effect.
Yeah. It's like, then they try to heal themselves after that much time. But it's like, you got to heal 19 years of damage.
Right.
Right. And instead of gaining from 19 years of good behavior.
Right.
right, and wondering why I don't get sick when COVID happens.
Yeah, yeah, living an extra 10 years or extra 15 years.
Of quality life.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you believe in that quote, 1% better every day?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I study Einstein for that reading. The rule of 72 mm-hmm. shows you the outcome of 1% better every day. Mm-hmm. That allows you every 72 of the same segment. So as much time as it takes you to get 1% better, if it takes you a day, it would be 72 days till you double where you're at mm-hmm. because of the compounding nature and exponentiality. Mm-hmm. So it's called the rule of 72, which is the outcome of 1% better. Mm. And so I also use time as that dependent variable. Mm-hmm. So if I'm 1% better in a week mm-hmm. and I can get to 1% better in 6 days mm-hmm. than 5 days, mm-hmm. now I'm effectuating an outcome even faster,
wow.
but still getting the exponential result.
So yeah. how do you make it a priority to improve 1% better every day? Like what did you do this morning that made you 1% better?
So
this
first,
morning than yesterday morning.
First, you have to have your non-negotiables.
Right.
So, and I use time. So I spend a minimum of an hour a day on my health because mm. that's the most important 1% better.
Right.
Because
that's a fact. That is.
And look, it took me years to figure this out because I always thought family first. Mm-hmm. And I asked my wife, when I rebounded from losing everything, over mm-hmm. $100 million, made it back, mm-hmm. I went to my wife, who's my savior, my best friend, mm-hmm. The smartest thing I've ever done. I said, hey, I would not be alive but for you telling me the truth. Mm-hmm. What can I do for you? And she said, I'll buy you anything. I'll do anything mm-hmm. for you. She said, you need to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm like, she said, because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to take care of all those people that you're promising to take care of and you want to take care of. So I made that with time, minimum an hour a day on my health. Mm. Then came my family. So I spend a minimum of 30 minutes a day with my wife, minimum of 30 minutes a day, no matter where I am in the world, with my son, minimum of 2 minutes a day with my three daughters, who are 24, 21, and 19.
Mm. Sure. Two minutes?
Yeah, minimum. Oh. People get pissed at me on the internet. They're like, dude, you only spent 2 minutes. I was like, first of all.
Wait, 2 minutes?
Exactly.
30 minutes with my son, 2 minutes with my daughter. Exactly. Can't take that shit.
Exactly. No, but seriously, I asked for five minimum. They only said, no, two's enough. I'm not shitting you.
Oh, it's them saying.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. But it's minimum of two because it has to be every day to get the 1% better.
Okay.
Then how about this one? This is the most powerful. You guys are young enough. Mm. Your moms are going to call me and thank me. And I'm not joking. They probably will. Here's the best piece of advice I give people. I spend a minimum of a minute a day, mm-hmm. every day, telling my mom four things. Mm-hmm. I'm healthy. I'm happy. Mm-hmm. I love her. And I appreciate her.
Mm.
That has healed my relationship so much with my mom. She doesn't make me drive an hour to go fix a screen door mm-hmm. anymore to prove those four things.
Mm-hmm.
I reinforce it every day. Does that mean I didn't spend 8 hours with her mm-hmm. this weekend because it was my daughter's graduation? Of course I did. Mm-hmm. But I don't miss a day because I don't want to lose out on that exponentiality
mm-hmm.
of 1, 2, 4, 8, 16.
Yeah. Wow.
So time and non-negotiables. Then this is a weird one for most people to understand. Mm-hmm. The next non-negotiable is me studying my time.
Mm-hmm.
Being very intentional about the activity I plan, don't have planned, the activity I get paid for, activity I don't get paid for, and my sleep. I've had a sleep coach for 17 years.
Mm. Wow.
I don't understand how people can go to bed at night and wake up tired in the morning. Mm. That's like if we go out to eat after this and we like pick out an In-N-Out burger and then you guys look at me and go, dude, I'm starving. We would question what just happened.
Yeah, right.
But nobody questions on earth that they go to bed and wake up tired.
Mm.
So I got a coach to say a third of my life I'm going to be productive and accessible and recover correctly mm. so that when I wake up, I'm not living like a tube, food in, food out every day. Mm-hmm. I'm plateauing and growing 1% through using time and non-negotiables mm-hmm. and then executing on the rest of the time by studying time.
Mm.
Well, what are your non-negotiables when it comes to people? Like, what's the type of people you don't deal with?
Mm.
Well, I believe your frequency is your neighborhood. And this is the biggest mistake that I made beyond asking for help when I lost everything is that I have a spectrum of evaluation because you only have so much time.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm spending time with the people most relative to me, like my wife, my kids, and my mom. But I also spend a minimum of 10 minutes a day reaching out to people I haven't seen in a long time.
Mm.
And then I also have a spectrum of feeding. Mm. And this is the one where I was bled by so many people.
Mm.
And so I evaluate a relationship by, okay, the more you feed me, the more time I'll spend feeding you. And I let people who bleed me fall away or even fire them from my life. My wife taught me this when I was a wreck.
Fire them from my life.
And this is how I fired them. I had three friends from childhood that took me to strip clubs. I would do drugs with them, drink with them, party till 5 in the morning, be around bad shit all the time.
You did drugs?
Yeah.
Wow, y'all, I can't even tell.
Well, I stopped doing it thanks to my wife. So I would party all the time in my 30s, lost and empty. So my wife said, you know, look, you got to take stock in who you are or you're going to end up dead. When I was wanting to move forward in my marriage and my life, my wife said, you're going to have to fire these three people from your life.
Wow.
And so I went out and these are childhood friends. I said, hey, brother, this has nothing to do with you. This has to do with me. I don't like who I am when I'm with you. And I can't be around you because I care so much about you that I want to please you. And I don't want to be around what it takes to please you because you're bleeding me. Right? You're like bleeding my whole life. So I have re-transformed my entire collective consciousness to people at the highest vibration. Instead of surrounding myself with the wrong people and the wrong ideas.
Low vibrating people.
Right, man. I'm around Deepak Chopra, Jack Canfield, John Assaroff, like world thought leaders. Sadhguru is a mentor of mine. If you guys know who he is.
Sadhguru is fire.
Yeah. Fire, man. Yeah. We're going to tour Australia together.
That's powerful.
And speak. But like, my life changed because I surrounded myself. My neighborhood's completely different. Here's the analogy that you guys will get. My old life was like sitting at the projects where I was born in Akron, Ohio, on a lawn chair, drinking a Colt 45, doing a bump, and looking at my best friend going, dude. And I had great ideas, right? Man, you know, I got a gig economy idea. We'll have shared transportation. And the guy's like, dude, that's a great idea. And drinks more. That's when you're surrounded with the wrong people. That's what happens to inspiration. Whereas now I live in the luxury gated community where I'm sitting at
inspired
a bench,
every day,
right? And looking at my friend next to me going, dude, I want to start this company. Oh, can I give 10 million? Do you know how much easier it is to start a company?
Yeah,
because my frequency is my neighborhood and I'm in the elevated neighborhood with people who feed me. And I can do things. We're limited by the people and ideas that we surround ourselves with.
Wow. People don't understand I'm suffocated by negative energy.
Yeah, it's such a powerful message. David, it's been an honor having you. I've learned a lot. I'm sure Wayne has as well.
For sure. Both of you guys are awesome.
Yeah, that was great. Any closing comments for the crowd?
Real simple ones. Well, one, please reach out to me. I'm happy to for your community to give those books, guides, exercises. So put my email in the notes, david@dmeltzer.com. But these are the two valuable lessons I tell everyone. Number one, be more interested than interesting. Too many people are trying to be interesting. They're standing in front of cars they don't own. They're taking snapshots that are even better than the real moments of the real life. Stop trying to be interesting.
Right.
Be interested. Learn from everything. And then most importantly, be kind to your future self. Do good deeds. One of those simple things that'll change your life. I promise you, if you're feeling anxious, frustrated, angry, if you're feeling lonely, just go do something for someone else. It will heal immediately.
Wow.
I appreciate the opportunity to be here, both of you. And I look forward to having you on more of my shows.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Just Wayne. Like that. Thank you guys for watching. Make sure you follow me on Instagram at The Creator.
Digital Social Hour. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I'll see you next time.
Peace.
Peace.